Then I want you to find Nehemiah chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 11, and Acts chapter 7. Now mark those. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. You find that and you mark it, then you turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. If you go to the book of Job, book of Psalms, that's a pretty large book. If you find that and start turning to your left, you go past the book of Job, and you keep turning. You go past the book of Esther, and you'll find the book of Nehemiah. And you mark that, chapter 9. And then you go to Hebrews chapter 11. That's in the New Testament. For you who go home and set your Bibles on your coffee tables and will read them, you'll find this, Hebrews 11, in the New Testament. And then you find the book of Acts, chapter 7. Okay? I don't have a lengthy reading in these passages, but they do pertain to our study this morning. Now let's begin in Joshua chapter 24. I want to read three verses for you. Joshua chapter 24, begin in verse 1. Joshua was saying goodbye. This was a great man of God saying goodbye to the tribes of Israel. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and call for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Now when you see this phrase, you're the other side of the flood. That probably means the Jordan River. When you and I think of the flood, we think of the big flood that drowned the world. But this place here simply means a stream or a river. And he was probably speaking of the Jordan that was flooded when they passed over it. Now look here at Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham. Now look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, and look in verse 8, just one verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Now, one more place over in Acts chapter 7. And this is the message that a man here preached that got him stoned to death. This is Stephen. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 7, then the high priest said, Are these things so? And Stephen said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he came to Haran, or Sharon, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Now I want you to turn over to our text in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're told there in Genesis chapter 11, and you that were here last Sunday remember us reading this, that a man by the name of Terah begot Abraham and Abraham's brothers. And they married wives, and Haran, Abraham's brother, died. And Terah took Abraham and left and came in to a place called Haran. Now in verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they came forth into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. Now, I want to call your memory just for a minute to what we preached on a few weeks ago in the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, when Noah and his family, only 8 souls, came from the ark. And I want you to remember what they did as soon as they came out of that ark. Noah took stones and built an altar, and he put wood upon that altar, and he offered clean beast unto the Lord for a burnt sacrifice. And as we studied that, if you remember, we realized that God had revealed to Noah and his family the way of true worship. The way that sinners could approach unto God and worship Him and be accepted of Him. And that was by sacrifice. But it's obvious, as we read here in this passage that I read to you, that somewhere between Shem, Noah's son, and Terah, Abraham's father, they had lost this gospel. They had lost heart worship of God. I don't know if they continued to offer the sacrifice, a burnt offering, but it's obvious they didn't know what it meant. Because Joshua reminds us here that Abraham and Terah, his father, and their whole families was given over to idolatry. Now, why do I even mention this morning? Why do I mention that somewhere along the line, they had lost the true worship of God? They had lost the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, because you and I are here this morning to begin a study on this man, Abraham. And I don't know of a man in the Old or New Testament that is any higher regarded or spoke more often of than this man was. The Lord blessed him. Kings came out of this man. Nations came out of this man. And the Lord said, in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. This was a blessed man. He was a great man. And you and I are beginning a study of this great man's life. And I think as we do, it's critical that we go back to find the first place where the Scripture introduces this man to us and find out what kind of man he was, who he was, and where he lived at. And I bring this point up this morning because if you and I hadn't read this passage in the book of Joshua about what kind of a man Abraham was and Terah, his father, was, and Abraham's whole family, we'd have never known it. We'd have just come here and the Bible would have introduced this man to us that he had a father and his name was Terah. that he had two brothers and one of them died, and Abraham and his other brothers took them wives, and they came and went into the land of Canaan. And that would be all we know about Abraham. He just heard the voice of the Lord, and he got out from his kindred and his country and his father's house, and he came into the land of Canaan. That's all we'd have known about that. But when we come here to the book of Joshua, and Joshua tells us about this man, that he did not know the living God. He did not believe in the Lord. He did not worship and serve Him. But he served other gods. He worshiped strange gods. I don't know what kind of gods they were. I don't know if Abraham took his knife and he whittled him out little gods with his hands. I don't know if he took him some sort of chisels and chiseled him out gods from stones. But Joshua tells us here that he served other gods. Now, why is that important in our study of this great man? Well, it tells us this. It turns our attention to this, and that is this. Why would this man suddenly leave his country and his father's house and all that he knew and cherished? How did he come to believe in this living God and obey Him and love Him and worship Him? And that's what makes this interesting, ain't it? If the Lord wanted to bless somebody, why didn't He go to the land of Canaan? There was a man there in the land of Canaan already by the name of Melchizedek. He was a great man, the priest of the Most High God. Why didn't the Lord go to him and say, Melchizedek, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you? He didn't do that. But He comes here to this man, whom Joshua tells us was a worshiper of other gods. He was an idolater. And God speaks to this man. And He brings this man out. And He blesses this man. Now that's very interesting to me. It's interesting to know how He does it. Interesting to know why God did it. And I think, as I remind you of the text here, we begin to find out some of these answers. Why did this man come out? Why did he hear and obey the Lord? Why was God's blessing upon this man? Why would he even choose to bless this man? Let me remind you again of the text. Nehemiah said this, Thou art the Lord, the God. Thou art the God who did choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees. God brought him forth. Why did he come out? Why did he leave his country? Nehemiah says it like this. God brought him out. And the book of Hebrews says it like this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out. He says it like this. Abraham, when he was called. See how he stresses that? When he was called. Not until he was called, but when he was called. And here in the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Holy Spirit says it like this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out. The Lord said, the Lord spoke to him and said, get thee out. But the text in chapter 7 of Acts that Stephen spoke, I think is very telling. And probably what makes the rest of these verses so effectual. And here's what Stephen said. The God of glory, and that is the glorious God, appeared to our father Abraham. God appeared to him. The glorious God appeared to him. So this calling of Abraham and the Lord speaking to him and instructing him was not some weak influence that Abraham could have resisted. He couldn't easily resist this voice. He couldn't go on about his business. He couldn't say, well, I feel like I should leave this land and go into another land, but right now I'm just too busy. I'll give it some thought later on. He couldn't say that. Why? Because the God of glory was speaking. How did he appear to Abraham? How did he reveal himself to Abraham? I have no idea. The scriptures doesn't say that he appeared to him in a dream or in a vision or he spoke to his conscience, his spirit, or he spoke to him in an audible voice. We don't know. But I tell you this much, brothers and sisters. The God of Abraham, this glorious God, spoke to Abraham. And Abraham never heard a voice like this before. He said, this is not like my gods that I've been worshiping. I've bowed down to these false gods, and I've never heard a voice like this. I've never heard a glorious, convincing voice spake to me in the power that this voice has spoken to me. There's why the scripture says when he was called, he went out. But who called him? That's the thing, ain't it? It wasn't some mere influence dealing with Abraham's heart. No. It was this glorious God, the God of glory. And he revealed himself to Abraham. And when he spoke to him, it was in convincing power. And Abraham said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Before we consider this calling, I want us to go back one step further. Just before God calls Abraham, one step back. And Nehemiah is the one that lets us do this. Nehemiah doesn't begin with calling. The other text that I read to you begin with calling. Abraham when he was called, and so on. But Nehemiah goes one step before calling. And here's what he says. O Lord, Thou art the Lord, the God, that didst choose Abraham. There's what comes first, isn't it? O Lord, O God, Thou art the God that didst choose Abraham. And then he adds, and didst bring him out. We know why Abraham believed. We know why he came out. Because God called him. But why did God call him? That's a good question to ask. Of all the other people around him, why did the God of glory appear to this man? Well, Nehemiah gives his answer this way. The Lord hath chosen him. That's why the Lord called him. Thou art the Lord that didst choose Abraham. So what comes next? And brought him out. See what goes first? Election. Calling. Choosing. Now what does this teach us? It teaches us that when God calls a sinner to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved by Christ, He does so because He has chosen that sinner to that end. Now, I want you to turn with me over to 2 Thessalonians and look here with me in 2 Thessalonians. You hold Genesis chapter 11 and turn all the way over in your New Testament to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look here in verse 13. First thing that happens is God choosing. Election comes first. And then out of that, and because of that, comes calling. Thou art the God who chose Abraham and therefore brought him out. Now look at what the apostle tells us in verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, because you're beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning of time, before the foundation of the world, chosen you to salvation. And here's the way He saves you, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And because He hath chosen you to salvation, look in verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ain't that plain? Ain't that wonderful? Paul says He first chose you to salvation. And because He's chosen you to salvation, therefore He called you to come to Christ and share in His glory. Now, why is the Scripture so plain about this? Well, it seems to me that God is determined, sooner or later, to bring us to know and understand that the most critical aspect of our salvation, the most important aspect of our salvation, is in His hands. It's in His hands. Now, I'll say this morning, and I know you won't misunderstand me, but there's something more critical than calling. And I don't seek to diminish that calling. We'll get to that in a minute. But there's something in this aspect of salvation that's even more important than our calling. And you know what it is? Our election. You go way back yonder before the foundation of the world, and there's where God made His choice on who He was going to save. Now that's critical, ain't it? That's critical. And what He means for us to know and understand that aspect of our salvation rests with Him. And before Abraham was ever called, before Abraham knew the Lord, before he knew anything about the Lord or the Lord's will, the Lord had already set His electing love upon that man. Abraham didn't know it. Abraham's family didn't know it. Nobody knew it but God Himself. And that's why God called him. That's why God brought him out. Abraham came out because God called him, but God called him because God had chosen him. Now, boy, that's a stripping thing, ain't it? I tell you what, this is the most comforting thing to God's people. To the believer, this is a sure foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are His. When they were dead in sins, He said, they're mine. They don't know it. And they won't know it until I call them. But I've got other sheep. They're mine. And they're lost. But I'm bringing them. And boy, when you find yourself in Christ, isn't that a comforting thing? Your salvation was settled upon before the foundation of the world. But I tell you what election does. Boy, it's a trumpet, a clarion sound. It's a loud sound, a disturbing sound in the heart of the self-righteous, in the ears of the self-sufficient, and those who are in love with themselves and say, it's left up to me. I'll come when I'm good and ready. My salvation is mine, whether I want it or reject it. And when they come here and God says, no, the most critical aspect of salvation, who's going to be saved, is left with me. And I've already settled it. That's a stripping thing, isn't it? But that's the first thing we see about this man, Abraham. Before we see his calling and him coming out, Nehemiah says, you've got to stop and consider this. God chose this man. And we come here to the Apostle Paul and said, we thank God that He's chosen you and He's called you. Back over to our text again. Back over to our text. Let's look now at the calling. The Lord's call to Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, Now, a person just don't wake up one Sunday morning and say, I've discovered I'm a believer. I've discovered I'm a child of God. Well, how did you become a child of God? Well, I don't really know. I don't know. You know, it's dangerous to profess to be a child of God and don't know how you become one. I'm a Christian. How did you become a Christian? I really don't know. Never thought about it. That would be like Abraham going into the land of Canaan, and some Canaanite say, what's your name? I'm Abraham. Where are you from? Over in Ur of the Chaldees. What are you doing all the way over here in the land of Canaan? And Abraham said, well, I never thought about it. I really don't know. It's not that way, is it? If a Canaanite had asked Abraham that, he says, here's why I'm here. I was living over there in idolatry. I was worshiping other gods. And this God of glory spoke to my heart. And he said, you get out. And I'm going to bless you and make you great. That's what I'm doing here. I'm here because God awoken me from my deadness and sin and lostness. And he saved me and he's brought me here. That's what I'm doing. What's this calling about? Well, this is the second time that we read about calling. The Hebrew writer said Abraham when he was called. But we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Brother Glenn was commenting on this morning. This is the second time here in chapter 12 that this calling is mentioned. But you remember the first time it's mentioned. This is so important. What is calling? What is it? What is calling? What's it about? And you go back there in the Garden of Eden. First time we ever see this word used, call. And Adam and Eve had sinned against the Lord. They had eaten the tree, the forbidden fruit. And they discovered they were naked and their conscience was guilty. And they heard the voice of the Lord speaking and they ran and hid themselves. And the Lord, the scripture said in Genesis 3:9, the Lord called unto Adam. And he said, Adam! Adam! Where art thou? You think the Lord didn't know? He knew Glenn. He knows everything. Then why did he say, Adam, where art thou? He wanted Adam to acknowledge where he was. Adam, you've eaten that tree I told you not to eat of. You have, haven't you? Where are you now, Adam? Adam, you've disobeyed me, haven't you? Answer me, have you? Where are you now? You know what he sought to bring Adam to? An acknowledgement of what Adam had done. An acknowledgement of where he was. And when you and I look through the Old and New Testament, one thing that's abundantly clear, the Lord saves us by bringing us to acknowledge the truth about our sin against God. That's the first thing about this call. Listen to these passages of Scripture. Jeremiah 3:12. Go proclaim these words towards the north. And say, return, thou backsliding Israel. Return unto me, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful. And I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against me, and you've not obeyed my voice. What does this calling have to do with? It's God bringing us to acknowledgement that we've sinned. Where are you now? Where are you now? Listen to Hosea 5:14-15. I will be to Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion and to the house of Judah. I will tear them and goeth away, saith the Lord. I will take away and none shall rescue him out of my hand. I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offenses. And in their afflictions, they'll seek me. They'll seek me. Psalms chapter 51, very familiar passage. David said, I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge them to the Lord. I don't hide them anymore. I tried to hide them. I tried to deny them. But now I acknowledge them before the Lord, and my sin is ever before me. Abraham never left Ur of the Chaldees with his little gods hid away in his back pocket. He never done it. This is what calling is all about, to bring us, Glenn, to the place. Go get your husband and bring him here. Uh-oh. My husband. Which one? I'll hide it from him. He don't know. You go get your husband and you bring him here. You go get your idols. Where are you? Who are you? What have you done? That's what calling does. When Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, he left his gods down there. And he left ashamed. And he left with a thorough confession to God, I have all my life been against you. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge it. I confess it. That's the first thing about calling. We won't get around this. We will not get around this. There are no secret Christians. There are no Christians out there anyplace thinking I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. The first thing God will bring us to is this. I'm a sinner. I've been against God all my life. And now I'm owning it. I stand in His presence and I own it. The second thing about calling is this. In chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1. Not only do they acknowledge their sin, but they come out of their sinful lifestyle. He was a man that was an idolater. His family was an idolater. And what does the Lord demand of him there in verse 1? Get thee out of thy country. Get you out from away from your kindred. Get you out from your father's house. Now don't read over this too quickly, folks. This is everything. This is where Abraham farm was. He's a pretty well-to-do man. This is where his shop was that he earned a living with. This is where he was born and raised. This is where he fished at. This is the mountains he sat on and watched the sun go down. This was his country. And God said, get out of it. It's a land of idolatry. Get out of it. Get out not only of your country, but look at this. Get away from your cousins. But I've known them since I was a youth. I've got some aunts. I've got some uncles. My relatives. I love them. We have had sweet fellowship together. Get away from them. You're living in sin with them. Come out of them. And boy, he really gets down then to the nitty gritty. In your father's house. My father. Those who watch me grow up, those who love me, care about me, have sweet fellowship, never see their faces again. This is a sinful place. You're in a sinful family. Your relatives are living in open idolatry. Get out. That's demands, ain't it? That's demands. What does this calling do? This is what takes place when the God of glory appears to a man. It brings us to take sides against those sins that we once loved and valued. That's what it does. Abraham, it's obvious as we read this text that anybody that wanted to go with him could go. His father went for a ways and died. Lot said, can I go with you? He says, you can come on. You're welcome to go, but I'm leaving. There's one thing that's settled in my heart. I don't care what you do. Sarai, I love you dearly, but if you don't go with me, I'm leaving anyway. I'm out of here. The lifestyle that I lived before, the sins that I loved before, I'm leaving them behind. I'm out of here.
How did he do that? The God of glory will make a difference in you. I tell you, you think right now, I love my sin too much. I can't come out of it. And you won't in your heart until the God of glory appears to you. And then you'll see your sins in a different light then. And then you'll say, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. That's what calling's all about, ain't it? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What does that mean? I call them to acknowledge that they're sinners. And I call them out of that lifestyle. I call them out of that sin. Abraham said in his heart, I'm leaving this place. I count all loss that I may win Christ. It's done that I may win Him. You and I often read in the Scriptures where the Lord says such verses like this. He makes these statements to people. I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. And He says this, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her little chicken, and you wouldn't. And now we know why, don't we? Now we know why. Leave all. Leave everything. I've married a wife. You expect me to leave her? She won't come with me. Then you're going to stay there with her. Are you going to come to Christ without her? And if you stay there with her and you won't come to Christ without her, then you and her will go to hell. I bought 5 yokes of oxen. I can't come. I bought some land and I got to go look at it. I can't come. But this call says you will come. You will come. And if the Lord is not a God of glory, then He cannot bring a sinner from the love of his sin and bring him to Christ. If He's this little God that is doing everything He can to save a man, but the man's will is too strong, the man's love of sin is too great, and the Lord has to throw up His hand in frustration and say, I tried, but I can't save him. All I know to do is let him perish. If He's a God like that, then every one of us is going to perish.
That's right.
What kind of God appeared to you? I remember you, Terrence. I remember you well. I ain't trying to embarrass you, but I remember some sins you mixed up in. And I remember you coming out of it as soon as God appeared to you. Larry, you did the same thing. Clarence, you did the same thing. That's what this calling is about. It brings us from the love of sin. I don't care what that sin is. It may be the dearest thing to you, and you may have loved it for long. It may be a lust that you've sucked on all your life. But I tell you, when the Lord calls, you pull away from it. If the God of glory does not intervene in grace and love and convert a man from his idols, will soon perish with no hope of recovery. And a man will not only lose his country and his kindred and his father's house, he'll lose himself. Where's Abraham's country at now? Boy, he's sitting up there in heaven today and he's looking down here at his country and saying, what a mess my country's in. I'm so glad I left that place. His country, you know, is over there in Iraq. My father's house. Where's Abraham's father's house now? We don't have no idea. My kindred. They're gone, aren't they? Abraham looked over everything he had and said, it's all natural. It's all temporary. And he said, in the light of eternity, it's all perishing things of clay, barn for one brief day, turn from my heart away. Jesus is mine. That's what he said. That's what he said. So Abraham departed. He departed. My third point quickly is this. My last point is this. What's this call about? It brings a man to acknowledge where he's at before God. It brings a man out of his love of sin. Nothing stands between him and Christ. He lets go of it. He lets go of it. I don't care what it is. This call brings us out from it to the Lord. And thirdly, here in verses 1 through verse 3, this call is about the Lord given to us great and precious promises. Look at the last portion of verse 1. He said, "You come out, and you come out into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation." Oh, what a promise. "I will bless thee." Abraham, I can bless. You've never been blessed like I can bless you. And I'll bless you. That's a promise. I'll bless you. "And I'll make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The Lord doesn't call us to make us miserable. Have you ever seen one day in your Christian life that you regret Him calling you? We just want more of Him, don't we? "Bless me more. Lord, bless me. Is there a blessing reserved for me? Bless me." We want more of His blessing. He don't call us to make us miserable and to send us off into darkness and despair. He calls us to bless us with His riches. The true riches. Oh, if you had known the gift of God. You just read this to us, Glenn. If you knew the gift of God. Oh, what is the gift of God? It's life. Forgiveness of sins. A righteousness to clothe the shame of our nakedness. Hope. Hope. What would you do without hope? Your heart would break. Hope is a gift of God. When He calls a man, He gives us these promises. Listen to this. "Turn you. Turn you, saith the Lord. Turn you at my reproof. And behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And I'll make known my words to you." Listen to this one. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought." Come out of that. And here's the promise. "Return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon you. And to God, and He will abundantly pardon you." "Look, ye blind, and here's the promise I give you. You'll see. Hear, ye deaf, and here's the promise. Your soul shall live. I said not to the seed of Israel, seek ye me in vain. I don't give empty promises. You turn unto me, and here's what I promise you. I'll give you rest for your soul." Ain't that what He said? The Lord Jesus stood one day and cried, If any man among you out there is laboring and heavy laden in his heart, you're heavy about death and your thoughts of standing before God. You're heavy about your sin and whether or not you're forgiven. Come to me. Lord, why should I come to you? I'll give you rest. I'll settle this issue for you. That's the promise. That rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Lord finally told him, He said, "You know you've got an idol, don't you? You know you've been worshiping a false god." "I didn't know that." "What is it?" "It's your riches that you're trusting in. You're hanging on to them. I tell you what you do. You get rid of them. Give them to the poor. They need them more than you do. And you take up your cross and come follow me. And here's my promise to you. You're going to have treasures in heaven." You're going to have treasure in heaven. You'll have life eternal. Bob Coffey, Brother Henry Mahan's son-in-law, preached for us here years ago. Clarence will remember this. Some of you will too. He preached out of the book of Hebrews, and he entitled his message, Christ is Better. Remember that, Clarence? And he says, if you have a kid, if you have a young child, and it's into something, you don't have to just beat up the kid. Use psychology. Give the kid something better. Offer the kid something better. That works, doesn't it? The Lord doesn't just call us to come out of our sins, come away from this world. But when we come to Him, He gives us something much, much better. He gives us Himself and all His benefits. Here's what the Lord comes to us and He says, you come out of your darkness and you come into my light. You come out of your bondage and you come into my freedom. You come out of your sorrow. You come into my gladness. You come out of your shameful failure and loss and come into my glorious gain of my cross. You come out of your sickness and you come into my health. You come out of your poverty and your need and your want and you come into my health and my wealth. And you come out of your sin and you come into myself. Now that's a blessing, ain't it? He don't call us to leave us hanging out there miserable and in darkness. You come out of your unrest and your arrogant pride, and you come into my blessed will to abide. I'll abide with you. I'll sup with you. You come out of yourself and to dwell in my love, out of your despair unto my rapture above. You come out of fear and dread of the tomb into the joy and light of my home. Come out of the depths of ruin untold into the peace of my sheltering fold. Forever my glorious face to behold. You come to me. You come to me. That's what happened to Abraham. He appeared and said, Abraham, all I'm asking of you is to acknowledge where you are. Just own up to it. Own up to it. And you come out of it, and you come to me, and I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll make kings come out of your loins. I'll give you wells you've never dug, houses you've never lived in, trees that you didn't plant full of fruit. I'll bless you. I'll bless you. Oh, Father, gracious Father, what a God. What a gospel. What a precious gospel you've given us. And Lord, who are we? We marvel. Surely Abraham marveled as he walked through the land of Canaan and often remembered how the God of glory had chose him and took him, called him, and blessed him. And oh, our Father in heaven, we marvel when we remember we were lost without any hope, without God, without Christ in this world. And you appeared to us, made us afraid not to obey you. And you brought us out to yourself. We found out that you chose us to salvation, give us to Christ our Lord. And oh, we marvel at this. We can't get over it. We can't get over you, the God who is eternal, the God who is higher than the heavens, would condescend in such tender mercy with such purpose to save us. and to bless us. Oh, we praise you for it. Amen.